Hello, welcome to the Medical Maze. I'm your host, Donellen Ray, and today we're going to be talking about sickle cell anemia or sickle cell disease with our in-studio guest, Cameron Bims. But first, we got to say hello to Phil.
Hey, welcome. You know, a lot of people do have this disease, but a lot of people don't know about this disease. I mean, we were talking off camera and we were getting stuff wrong, so.
Yes, yeah, that's so true. It is something that you hear about, but do you really know what it is? And that's where Cameron's going to come in today. So hello, Cameron.
Hello.
Well, I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for being with us and being willing to talk about this. It's like I said, people hear about it, but what do we really know about it? So first off, let's just do the basics of what is sickle cell anemia or disease. And the reason I say that is because I've heard in doing some research that the disease just encompasses some other conditions besides just the anemia. So whatever you're comfortable with, and I think you said you have actually the anemia.
I do.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk about that. So what is that?
It is a hereditary disease, so I was born with it.
Okay.
It is when your blood cells, instead of being your red blood cells, instead of being circular, they are sickle-shaped, which are like half moons, and so they don't flow necessarily, causing kind of like a lack of oxygen to your blood flow, which in turn brings on like a pain crisis, a sickle cell pain crisis.
Oh, is that like your first symptom is like this pain? So it sounds like they clump together because of their shape.
Yes.
And blocking.
Yes.
The flow, which causes pain. Okay, and you were... It's hereditary for you, you said. So yes. You were diagnosed when you were...
When I was born. I have an older brother that has sickle cell disease. I have a sister that has trait, ironically. Same parents. And so they just tested me because of my brother, because I have an older brother with the disease.
Wow. And that's interesting, too, because when I was doing this research, I tried to at least prepare to some extent about these conditions to have some sort of... base information about it. And I thought it was interesting about trait versus disease. So Phil, can you bring up the chart? I believe that's the first chart that has that on there.
The traits?
Yeah, it has trait versus disease. I think it also talks about what sickle cell is. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, oh, and there's a example, if you notice, of the sickle cell shape.
Sickle cell, yep.
Right.
Half moons.
Yeah, the half moons. But I thought this was interesting because it says that they can have the trait because they inherit just one of the
genes.
One of the genes.
Yeah, so which is so crazy. Like,
yeah.
That we all three of us have the same parents, but uh-huh. Only two of us have. So that means we got one of the genes from each of our parents.
Yeah. And then, so for two of you, and then the third one just got one.
Yes.
Isn't that really interesting?
Yes.
Have you seen a big difference between, like, your symptoms and your condition versus the one that just has a trait?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So when you have the trait, it's very mild. Like, you might have, like, a vitamin D deficiency or, like, an iron deficiency is normal when you have the trait. Lost my
shit. That's okay.
If you have the disease,
yeah.
Like your constant pain, constant trips to the hospital, hydration, staying hydrated, obviously, like through water because it carries oxygen,
mm-hmm.
Is important. Absolutely a huge difference. My sister was never in the hospital.
Really?
With the trait.
Wow. Yeah.
And I was hospitalized, I think, for the first time when I was, I don't know, maybe 4 months or 5 months old.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's when they kind of really figured it out? Or, you know, you said, well, you were tested at birth, but that was your first episode?
Yeah, that was my first, like, crisis.
I see.
Which would be, I couldn't imagine as a parent, like, trying to figure out, like, your baby in pain.
So. I can't imagine that either. So what kind of treatments do they give children?
Hydration. A lot of kids when they're younger are placed on like antibiotics just to try to like prevent infection.
I was gonna say, because it does that doesn't stop them from those sickle
cells from
clogging.
I mean, a light pain medicine regimen as mm-hmm. like a baby, like Tylenol. Mm-hmm. You get something lighter as a kid, you know.
So does it just pass eventually? I mean, do they like get unclogged somehow?
No, and through blood mean transfusions also. I've had a lot of blood transfusions. So I don't know how old I was when I got my first blood transfusion, but that is something obviously that like replenishes your cells. So
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to talk about some more of that stuff. But so Phil, let's look at the chart, because I think this condition affects certain populations of people.
Yes.
Right, and with, I guess, primary being African-Americans.
Yes.
But I was also interested to see, Phil, I think it's a couple charts over on, that it's also Hispanics from, I think, parts of Central America.
Like Middle Eastern countries.
And then Mediterranean, Middle Eastern, Indian. Yeah. I just thought that was fascinating.
Why, why do white people don't get this?
Pardon me?
Let's be real. Why do white people don't get this?
Well, that's what you
that's
hear.
That's not true, but they usually, like, my hematologist was telling me that he just had a new patient. He's like, is this a joke? A Caucasian man, but you don't know, like, his roots maybe are.
Right, right.
But he has beta thalassemia, which is another form of sickle cell.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting, because you don't know someone's.
You don't maybe know their, yeah, like yeah. their lineage. You don't ever know, so.
Well, that's interesting, but yes, I am more familiar with hearing it of the African American population.
That's like the prominent population that it's in for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So, and there's also different kinds, and you have this.
I have the SS.
SS, and yes. So yeah, so there's different kinds, and it depends upon what genes you inherited, correct?
From each parent, yes.
From each parent. Okay, so yeah. So you're an SS, so if you could kind of explain that. And I think that's the...
So I have the S gene from each of my parents. That's the... So both of my parents have trait.
Oh, do they? Okay.
Yes. So two...
They don't... Wow. Yes. Two traits, and you guys got...
The disease.
The disease.
Two of us got the disease. One of us got...
The trait.
The trait.
Interesting.
So it's a 50-50 type. Yeah.
Okay, so you got the SS from both of them.
The S gene.
The S gene, from both of them.
One from each of them, yes.
Okay.
So then it combines and then it's SS.
And then it's SS, yes.
And then, yeah, so then what kind of, and I think that's probably the most common, isn't it?
It is, yes. Like, SS is the most, I think it's 65, is that what you guys have?
Yeah. Yeah, 65% of the people that have it. So what is different? Is it different in the symptoms or is it just...
It's the most severe.
Oh,
so
gosh.
It doesn't... And it's insane because if you look at me, I don't look sick. Like...
Right.
My eyes might be a little jaundiced sometimes, but it's definitely... It's not a mild form of the disease. It's the most severe. So your pain symptoms are more severe. Eventually, it starts to affect, like, your other organs, you know.
Does it? Okay. Yes. Wow. Okay. So then the other kinds, Phil, we'll just briefly go over those, but there is this hemoglobin SC, and I assume, and that's more mild or moderate, and that's only 25%. So, yes. And that's just, they're inheriting the C, I guess, an S and a C.
C, yes.
Okay. So the combination there, but you and your other
we have SS.
You both have SS.
We both have SS.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's very interesting. And then there's a third kind, I believe, right?
Beta thalassemia.
Is that the one you were mentioning from?
Yes.
That the Caucasian.
Yeah, but it's not. If you, I don't know how. Let's see. I don't know how common beta thalassemia is. Sorry, Phil.
Oh, I don't even think we have it on there. It's 8%. 8%. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Or the other one is 2% zero. So I guess there's two different types.
Okay. Interesting, though. Yeah. And it just all is in what you inherited, what gene you inherited.
From your parents, yes.
Wow. That's interesting. That's really interesting. So you said that your first time in the hospital, I guess, was when you were...
I was young, yeah.
How?
My first memorable hospital experience was probably when I was like 5.
So how many, if you don't mind ask, how many have you had? How many trips have you made over this condition?
I don't know, hundreds.
It's been that many?
In the last, like, 10 years, I've had at least 15 hospital stays.
Really?
At least.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I get sick. I'm doing better now, but you know, there's different medicines and stuff, but I was getting sick probably at least like 2 to 3 times a year, like getting hospitalized for like a week or two.
Yeah. A week. Wow. Yes. And then they're giving you just, I guess, some pain medicine, maybe the blood
pain
transfusion.
Pain medicine, hydration, oxygen, and just rest, honestly. And the main thing I think is like the hydration. I feel like that's what makes, like, brings me back to life. And then also like controlling my pain when I first get there.
Okay. So do you feel it coming on? Do you, or does it just kind of hit you?
Yes and no. Okay. So it depends. It could be a weather change could affect it. Yeah. Like whether it's like, you know, Florida, so hot or cold, or, stress is a big thing.
Okay.
Dehydration. So that might kind of play in tune with like the weather.
Okay. But well, like when I see, what about if you go on a plane ride and
you know, I actually go to New York once a month.
Oh, once
a month?
Yes. And the almost a year ago, it was like I try not to go in the winter anymore because last year I got acute chest syndrome, which is like really common in sickle cell patients.
Really?
And it's just like a hard upper respiratory infection, and 91% of my cells were sickled, and I flew home in a full crisis, and I was in ICU for 2 weeks, and I had to get like I was intubated for a week.
Really?
Yes. On February 27th will be a year, and so I was like, I can't go there in February. Oh, it was just too cold for me. Too cold.
Really?
And the plane ride.
Well, I was thinking dehydration sometimes happens when you're,
and then the altitude.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm going to ask you a real question here. Okay.
Go ahead, Phil.
Since you own your own business, right?
Yes.
Is your condition a reason why you have to own your own business? Because I would assume that.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Working at a regular job is would be
too
difficult.
My background is in early childhood education. Mm-hmm. And I actually worked at a preschool for 6 years, and I had the most amazing boss who was so understanding. And there's even times where I was like, you know, when you are just like, you know, I'm 40, but when you are just trying to live. And so I would like go to work in just like a little bit of pain. And, you know, my old boss has taken me to the ER.
Oh.
Like, so, but it's extreme. It's easier for me to have and make my own schedule for the sake of, you know, it's hard to, you know, it's hard. It's hard on my body. It's, you know, if I get sick, then I'm missing a week or two of work. Yeah. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting, and it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So you mentioned, and Phil, I think we have a chart on some symptoms, because you did mention the chest syndrome, and I think that's one of them.
Yep.
Oh, yes. I do like this chart here. If we can go back just for a second, because this is where we were talking about trait versus, versus disease and anemia, and because, you know, we seem to hear a lot about anemia.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting when I was researching this that, you know, they have this sickle cell disease because it encompasses other things. And on here it was saying your pain, and I guess they're classifying all of those, what you're thinking of as symptoms of just the anemia, or for you it's all intertwined.
Yes.
They're saying, oh, well, those pain episodes, the anemia, jaundice, you mentioned just a minute ago.
Or sometimes when babies are born with sickle cell, they have to go because they come out like with their bodies like yellow. So they'll put them like in the light and stuff like that. But jaundice is
big when they're born.
But that even when you're older too, because like it said on the chart, the different how it affects your different organs and stuff like that. So obviously, like if you're taking a lot of Tylenol, it starts to obviously affect your liver, but then you have sickle cells also attacking like your liver or your kidneys, which in turn make you jaundice.
Yeah.
So, because of your bilirubin and all that good stuff. So.
Wow. Yeah. So I just thought it was interesting just because when I was looking at my references or Cleveland Clinic or Mayo, they just they classified all of that, but you're saying you have all those anyway with your anemia. Every episode, yes. You have all of those anyway. So, Phil, we can go back and look at all those symptoms that I thought. There's a pain. It can cause organ damage and failure, which you were saying, because if it goes and gets into your organs.
Yeah, I don't have organs, a gallbladder.
You don't have a gallbladder.
I don't have a gallbladder, and I have a shrunken spleen.
Because of that?
Just from my sickle cell, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Huh. That's really interesting. Unbelievable. So there's the anemia, which you have.
Mm-hmm. Acute chest syndrome.
Your acute chest syndrome.
Which I had. That was my first and only time. Blood clots. They check you every time in the hospital for blood clots.
Oh, do they?
Also because you're just laying there.
Yeah. And then, of course, we all know that it's blocked by
where the sickle cells.
Yeah, where it's blocking something. So, and if it, I don't know if they just open up or how that works, that it. Somehow, crisis is over, and maybe it's the blood transfusion.
It's the hydration.
The hydration.
And keeping your pain under control. And now they have, different medicines that you could be on, daily that help with, your fetal hemoglobin, which is, your new hemoglobin. Helping it stay, I guess, unsickled longer. I don't really know how to explain it.
No,
but
that's okay.
But sickled cells only live 13 to 26 days.
Okay.
So.
Huh. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So then maybe that's the reason they eventually.
Yeah. You're just, yeah.
Because they die.
And you're getting hydrated and you're getting blood transfusion. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
I used to work at Arnold Palmer Hospital for Children.
Oh, wow.
And I had children who had sickle cell, right? And they told me what their pain felt like. So tell me, I'll tell you what they said, and then you tell me if it's correct. So they say when they would go through pain, it felt like their skin was, needles were everywhere in, their whole entire body.
Yeah, it feels like glass shards, a better way to, it's almost to where you can't, not almost, it is, to where you... sometimes when I'm in crisis, I can't stand up. My knees will just, or I can't, it just hurts. You can't explain it. But that is a good way to try to describe it is, glass shards. Somebody just sticking thousands of glass shards, through your body.
Really?
Painful.
Yeah, I should say. And then if you have that and you have other symptoms, too, like the chest thing.
Yeah.
Or... something else.
It's like you're having a hard time breathing and now you're in pain and it's like, what do you focus on?
Yeah. And you traveled. I can't imagine how you could travel like that. I would just be so miserable.
I was I'm going to go home after the airport. And then I was like, no, I'm not. I'm going to go to the ER. And that's exactly what I did.
You came home and then went to the hospital.
I started to feel bad the day before. That's why I said yes and no. You kind of know. And you, as you get older, you become familiar with your body.
Sure.
So I flew home and I thought it's a 2-hour flight. And I figured, okay, well, my support system is here. My doctor's here.
Yeah.
It only makes more sense to be somewhere where I know everybody and as soon as I landed, I went right to the ER and I was admitted. I was there for 2 days. And then one of the nurses was like, it seems like my breathing was off and hooked me to the oxygen. And my oxygen was 20 or
25%. Oh,
yes.
Really?
And so they were like, oh no.
You're not going anywhere.
Take you to ICU.
Yeah. You're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Because I was thinking if you went to the hospital there, you said, your support system's here and your doctor's here.
It's a hit or miss too with sickle cell patients because this is unfortunate, but because again, we look like if you see me walking, you would never think that I have a chronic illness, but, that they are seeking pain meds or that they are
really,
yes. And so it's for me, I have a plan of care. When I go to the ER, there's no question about what to do. I have a written paper from my doctor.
You? Okay.
How to contact my doctor. Instead of, cause even sometimes in the emergency room, if it's a new doctor and they're unfamiliar and
they'll judge you,
they went to school, you know, when they only had a 2-week portion of their curriculum about sickle cell.
Sure.
And they don't know. And that's, they don't know. They only know what they hear. And so.
Well, it's almost like, do you like carry a card? I'm a card carrying member of sickle cell, you know, disease.
You need one, right?
Yeah. Right. It's like, seriously. Yeah. So, I mean, I can see because if pain is the biggest, you know, thing or the first thing you kind of start noticing.
Yeah. And it's like excruciating pain.
Oh, like, wow. And then to not be believed.
It's kind of dramatic, but
well, it sounds,
even it hurts and it's
I mean, painful. Glass shards? Yeah.
Yeah.
So. It's got to be. Got to be. That just, even just in my mind, that's.
Yeah, it's painful. Oh, yeah.
Wow. So then that was that incident. So is your, so you're, this is happening to you. What about your sibling? Are they also a frequent
flyer
at the hospital or frequent?
It's so crazy. Not really.
Really? Okay.
But my brother's had like a stroke.
Well, that was another symptom, a stroke.
I think that my brother got sick a lot more when he was younger. He's had acute chest syndrome as an adult. But because he was born in, not to tell the age, he's born in 79.
Okay.
But he, you know, they didn't have.
I'm counting here. Wait, no.
Yeah, he's 44. So they didn't have as much like medical knowledge about sickle cell as they do now. So they told my mom that he was only going to live to be 5. And he's 44. So.
Wow. Yeah.
So if they don't. So when my brother was younger, he went through a lot of different like surgeries and things like that.
Seriously, what kind of surgery? I mean, you can't.
I mean, even like he had surgery like on his feet because his toes were like starting, and it's like from your sickle cells, or you know, a lot of sickle cell patients wear glasses.
Does it affect their vision?
It does affect your vision.
Really?
I see an ophthalmologist, which is not an optometrist. It's where they could take pictures of your eye. And for me having so many crises, I do have like some of my blood vessels in my eyes that are just like stopped. I wear glasses. I don't have them on right now.
Right.
But
right.
I do wear glasses. It does start to affect your vision for sure.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
But for him as a child, it was affecting the shape of his
Feet.
Seriously?
Yes.
Really?
He doesn't have a gallbladder, and this is before they did it laparoscopically. This is when they cut you.
As a kid he did it?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
So why the gallbladder, though? Why does that have to, why does that, I don't, I think gets removed?
Ironically, the sickle cells attack the gallbladder in most patients first.
Really?
And so they just, or you'll get, I don't know why we develop gallstones easier also. So that is why, that is a reason for them to take your gallbladder. A lot of sickle cell patients don't have their gallbladder.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. This is just fascinating. I mean, you hear about this, but like we were saying, do you really know what it means? And I'm not, sorry to your brother, I'm not trying to get into his stuff.
No,
I was
you're
just,
good. Go ahead.
I was just wondering, though, you know.
Yeah. Well, because it starts to affect your body. Oh, yeah.
And then two siblings in the same family, did you have different severity of symptoms? Did you have different, but it sounds like his were younger.
Yeah.
Where yours has kind of been spread out.
I feel like mine are like a little bit worse now that I'm older, but now I have an amazing hematologist. So, like that, my big thing is preventative care. Like, I don't want to spend a week in the hospital.
Oh,
so,
I bet.
If I have to come in for hydration or, I do have an iron overload too from too many blood transfusions.
Really?
So I get an infusion once a month that takes the iron out of my.
Seriously? Yeah. Who would have thought that from a.
It's so
the
many,
treatment would cause you
so many other things.
Yeah, like that on a blood transfusion. Who would have thought that?
Yeah. Oh,
so,
yeah.
So do you do like the IV hydration therapies?
No, and I actually have a port in my chest. I don't have I don't have any veins.
You don't have any veins?
Yeah, I don't have any veins because, you know, that's like, I have a blood disease. Like, they're poking and prodding at you as you're growing up and your body is changing. And so I've had my port for 8 years, I think. And it's easy, but I don't know. I don't really like, I have a good, again, I have a good hematologist. So if I'm feeling like run down, all right, like, you know, sometimes when you feel good. So you just work until you don't feel good. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, okay, like can I come in for hydration? And I will get hydration.
So you at least try to stay on top of it. I'd be like you. Just for the food alone, I wouldn't be in the hospital. Sorry.
I don't eat hospital food either. What?
How have your relationships been?
I'm in a relationship. I've been in a relationship for a year, but
so
I don't
good.
Know. I do have two children. I do have two kids. I have I have two adult children. I have an 18-year-old and a 20-year-old, and I actually have a granddaughter.
Get out.
Wow. I do. She's
wouldn't
one.
Have thought so either. Yeah. So did your kids get it?
Nope, my kids have the trait. And my kids are educated about sickle cell, 100%.
Oh, that's...
I, like, don't want them to have to, like... Yeah. Not that, like, you know, but it's not, like, I just want them to be cautious when it comes to that.
And what about your granddaughter?
Trait.
Trait, too?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you said that your other sibling with the trait doesn't have nearly the...
She doesn't have... Yeah.
Yeah. I think you said she might have, what, fatigue or tired, like, or something, yeah, like
she takes like sometimes iron supplements, but okay, that's the extent of the excitement for her,
but no hospitals.
But no. Yeah, no hospitals or no, yeah,
yeah. I'm sorry, Phil, what was that?
No, she said that's the extent of her. Do y'all like make fun of her? We're like, stop whining, you little baby. You don't have it like we have.
We're
it.
Like, it must be nice. Like,
yeah, yeah. A little envious for sure. You know, wow. So, okay, but your kids are good. Mm-hmm. Relationship wise. So, because you have to sometimes be in the hospital and the treatments and certain things.
I think when I was younger, like, not that I was embarrassed that I had sickle cell, but it's just like when you're younger and you're dealing with like young men, like it's hard to be like, hey, I'm in the hospital for a week. Like, I have a chronic illness, you know.
Just say you don't like me. Jeez.
Right. But I don't know. I'm in a long distance relationship.
Oh, long distance. Okay. Right.
Oh, that's why she goes to New York every month.
I don't go every. He comes here too, but I just. Cut that out, Phil.
I know.
I'm for the streets.
Phil's like the private detective over here, isn't he?
Right.
Where's my Law and Order sound effect?
No.
But I'm sure as you're older and
But you encounter men that even my wife now, like, sometimes they like just don't know how to deal with it when you're in crisis and you're crying. I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot to deal with.
Yeah. But think about the patient who's got it and what they're dealing with.
But my kids are like so like unfortunately well versed in like what to do if they're like home and I got sick. And it's been like this since they were like 13 and 14.
Okay.
So like, do you need water? Like, you know, they will usually go stay with my mom or my sister.
Sure.
Because
sure.
It obviously affects their life also.
And that's a good point too. It's like, it's not just you. It is your support system.
Yeah.
Your parents, your kids. Your significant others,
it's my just, friends.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, it affects your whole kind of support system there, and how that, you know. It sounds like you got a good one because you have all learned through all these years and all the experiences. Kind of what happens. Like you said, you've taught your children.
My girlfriends too. Like, they're like, okay. Some of my girlfriends will be like, okay, we'll go get the kids. Or like,
oh,
you know,
good.
Or even, you know, some people think like it stops like when you get out of the hospital, but like coming off of pain medicine is not fun every time.
Oh yeah.
Or, you know, just you've been laying down in a hospital bed for a week and a half. So like, you don't have the strength that like, you normally would. So just even your support system in your aftercare, you know, my girlfriends will send groceries or
That's nice. Yeah.
Do you need us to come clean up? Or, you know, do you need us to take you somewhere? I'm like, chauffeur me around, please. Well, but yeah.
Well, okay. So what about, and you mentioned your girlfriends, this is what about your social life? So is it kind of hit or miss? Like, today I feel like I can go out and have dinner with my friends.
When I was younger, if I made plans, I would be like, I got to keep them. But now it's like, my health is first. So if I don't feel good and I made plans to do something and I have to cancel, like, I'm sorry. Or, you know, sometimes it's so hard to buy tickets to things in advance when you have sickle cell.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know, like, you never know.
Like a concert or something.
Yeah, like
a
concert. And even, like, excitement can set you into a crisis.
I was going to ask you that, too. The stress and all that stuff.
Yeah, like, just being, like, too
hyped up or something, or excited,
you know,
or something.
Yeah, will send you into a crisis sometimes. So
really, wow. So yeah, you definitely have to just. And it sounds like your friends are kind of very forgiving of that and understand that. Awesome. You know, and that is an important thing to understand. And as you get older, I think maybe we have a better understanding of you know, diseases and chronic conditions and stuff and. Yeah. People are more understanding, as opposed to, I can understand when you're younger trying to date.
Yeah.
You don't, maybe you don't even tell them at first because you don't want them to think, oh my God.
You don't tell them at first.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you don't want them to think, oh my God, and just hit the high road. Before you've even had a chance to see where this could go. You know, and that doesn't mean that even then that, you know, you were going to have a crisis. It's kind of, sounds like it's unpredictable. It depends on, like you said, various circumstances and things that are happening that may bring it on. But that's harder. I think it's easier to kind of grasp maybe as we get older. Maybe it's because, I don't know, our families, parents get older and we see them
go through things. Or you get older too and you're just like, I'm like really good by myself. But I am. You just get used to like, being on your own when it comes to that, you know, I can drive myself to the hospital or I can, you know, again, I have a great support system, my friends, I have really amazing girlfriends. So
you can call or whatever, but, and it's true. I mean, you know, if you're comfortable being by yourself and then if someone happens to come into your life
to
and
add
they,
to it, then it's fine.
Then that's
not,
great.
Then it's also okay.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So that's great. So, and going back to, I was just thinking about, you said your brother had a stroke.
Yes.
I know that was one of the symptoms on the charts, and sorry, I'm going back a little bit, but it just was, does he have
like
lingering?
No.
Okay, no long-term effects from
he
that.
He was like, I think like 5 or 6 when he had a stroke.
Oh.
He was younger. Yeah.
As a parent, they'd have to pick me up out of the floor probably, you know, on
me
something.
Too.
A child with a stroke like that. So there was no long-term
effects.
That's good. Cause I was just wondering, cause then that adds on to what you already have to deal with.
Yes.
Okay. So, let's talk about some treatments. And I know that you mentioned what you've gone through, and Phil, I think there's a chart of some treatments here. I know that you mentioned medications before.
Yes.
So, there were some medications listed here. I don't know if any of them you do.
Yes, I actually am on. I am on hydroxyurea, which is that is what helps with the fetal hemoglobin. Is the hydroxyurea
okay?
It's supposed to like spread your crisis out. Also,
okay.
I've only been on. I was on it before, and it wasn't really like doing anything. And so I'm just trying it again. So
and you feel like it's helping.
I feel like it's I have a really good hematologist. Like,
So what's the first thing they would do though? I mean, I know that when you're having a crisis, then it's about managing those symptoms.
Yeah.
So the pain, the hydration, the blood transfusion, you know,
oxygen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause your oxygen, probably your blood isn't.
They have so many new medicines also though. So I was on a medicine for 1.5 years.
Okay.
And we found out that it was making my crisis worse. Once we like sat down, we were like, you were like really sick and you never get, and I was getting sick like every 2 to 3 months. And I'm like, what is it? And it was an infusion that I was getting that was also supposed to help like spread out the time in between my crisis. But so I'm not on that anymore. And you could feel it. I would even get it, and I would just be, like, so tired after. And it's a four-hour thing. And I would, like, sleep the whole time in the infusion center. And then I would go home and sleep. And I'm like, why do I feel like this if I'm getting hydration and this medicine that's supposed to be helping me? And so I'm not on it anymore.
Okay. So, and maybe for different people, it helps.
It does different things. Yeah. So
About your brother? Is he on certain medications?
My brother's on hydroxyurea, too.
Like
and
you.
I think he's on that, like, L-glutamine.
A pain reliever used to help reduce the number of pain crises you have.
Okay. Yeah.
Does he feel that that's helping him, or do you know?
Yeah.
Okay. And I guess it's kind of hit or miss. You got to try different things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Different people, it relate to different things, or it seemed to, they react to different things differently. So, well, that's good. I mean, at least there's something that you can take
try
or
to,
do.
Yeah, they always try different things. It just, again, it's like person to person. Everybody's makeup is different. So,
what's your average is for between crises? Is it 4 months, 5 months, 6 months now?
Let's see.
Because I was just thinking what you said, like in the last.
I haven't had a crisis in 4 months.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, that's like really good for me.
Yeah.
So, and I feel good.
Can we knock on wood?
I know. Where is it at?
Yeah. So, do you think, did you start taking that new medicine?
I got off of the other medicine. Uh-huh. I started taking a new medicine and then again, hydration.
Yeah.
And I don't drink anything really but water. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nothing else. Really?
Every just, now and then.
I mean,
but
yes, I understand.
90% like juice every now and then.
Okay.
I'll have a glass of wine, but like not.
Or like sports drinks or anything like that, or the
electrolytes. I
you
use
can
like
do that.
Like the packets of electrolytes.
The powder, or whatever you can put into your, okay.
So does a bad diet, can that trigger
A bad
stuff?
Diet absolutely can affect anybody. Like
even with, really?
Oh, yeah.
I better stop eating
like a lot of fried foods. They actually, they have a sickle cell diet.
Oh, do they?
They do. So it's just like a basic diet. It's low carb, not a lot of beef. It's like fish, chicken, berries, and then greens. Like,
oh, really? Okay.
Cucumbers, asparagus, watermelon, stuff like that. Just it's a clean diet.
It's a clean diet, or something very, sounds like
you can feel the difference though if you like, for sure. Because I eat pretty clean too, so
like, is birthday cake out of the question?
Absolutely.
Something
not.
Like that. Okay.
Treat yourself. Hello.
Okay. Just had to check there. I just,
or low sugar too. Like they say that sugar if you have like too much sugar. Isn't that weird? Like they say too much sugar could set you in a crisis too.
Really?
Like eating too much sugar. That's wild.
Yeah.
I wonder how much sugar you'd have to eat to set you in a crisis.
Well, I wouldn't test it, but still.
I wouldn't either.
You know,
Yeah.
You know, because what about that would make these sickle cells clump or whatever it is that would cause it? Because that's really what happens, right? When you start in the crisis is they start clumping and you block something, right?
Yeah.
So blocks the flow of blood and, you know, there goes your oxygen, it causes the pain there.
And then you're,
Then you know, you're going, oh, well, how'd that cupcake do that or something, you know?
I think there? It's got to be more than one cupcake, though.
Yeah. And I think you mentioned alcohol, so sugar, you know.
Yeah, the sugar and alcohol dehydrates you. So
yes.
That's the...
That makes sense.
This is what a lot of sickle cell patients do, is if you have a drink, then you follow it with two glasses of water.
Okay.
And that is supposed to be the recipe. Don't know. But
it's not worth it to you.
It's not worth it. It's not, it doesn't feel good. So it's not.
Yeah. So do you belong to, because we're talking about support groups and stuff, and support system, do you belong to like support groups or sickle cell groups?
I am not in any support groups. I have a girlfriend that just started, the Pink Foundation. So it is going to offer support to, the sickle cell community in Orlando, raising awareness. When I was younger, I think that we spoke about this before. I was, I went to a sickle cell camp in California. They have a big sickle cell population in California. And then when I got older, I sought out a foundation that did a camp. And they don't have one in Florida, but they have one in Georgia, which is not far. So 2 years pre-pandemic, I was a camp counselor at Camp New Hope in Georgia.
Oh, I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. So it's just like kids, a bunch of kids with sickle cell. We're in the woods. There's cabins out there, but they have a whole team of doctors and nurses. Of course, if anybody gets sick, they have like an infirmary. And then it's just them doing a bunch of normal stuff like horseback riding, canoeing, archery.
A shame that we really, okay, we everybody, that. We need that in Florida. Yes. We need that in Florida. We have such great natural resources and areas in the state. Oh, yeah. So folks, come on, we need to go and try to get this. And maybe, I don't know, maybe your friend could spearhead, or you could, but I, you know, since you have the experience, but I'm not, you know, tagging you with that. I'm just saying that, wow, that would be great to have here.
Yeah.
Do you know what, I know we're in Florida, but do you know just by chance what the population of sickle cell?
Georgia has a bigger population of sickle cell, and I don't know if
is it because of more black people?
Yeah, because it's predominantly African American in
Atlanta. I see.
Even in their hospital, they have a what they call a sickle cell center. Mm-hmm. So instead of like here, if you go to the ER, like they're going to give you one like low dose of like pain medicine, and then if you're not feeling better, you're staying. As into where Georgia, they have a sickle cell center where you go there, you have 9 to 12 hours. They're going to hydrate you. They're going to give you pain medicine. And then, because sometimes your crisis is not severe, so severe that you need to stay in the hospital, but sometimes it's severe enough that you need help getting it under control.
Sure.
And so you can stay there 9 to 12 hours, get hydration, rest, and then at the end of that 12 hours, they decide, you know, do you need to stay or do you need to go? But they also like a lot more knowledgeable because of the population.
Wow, I really, or if they could even maybe help, you know, build up a camp something down here, or with their experience and say, these are the things that we see. Who can we, I mean, we have some great hospitals here.
Yeah.
You have a great doctor. We have great resources, natural. I mean, I don't know, maybe Disney could help with Fort Wilderness. I'm just saying that anyone that Disney, but you know, there's like Fort Wilderness there and they have the camping and stuff and, you know, could maybe help support that. But, something I would like to think that, you know, in
you need it, they need it here for
certainly
sure.
It's not like we don't have any any patients here that have that. That would be great. That would be great. And anything else, I mean, I'm sure, do you have, are you part of like Facebook groups or
I'm in like just like sickle cell support groups, you know, they talk about just like daily struggles. I've met a few people off of like TikTok or Instagram who, you know, there's a rapper, his name's AR the Prophet. He is a rapper.
Okay.
And he's got quite the following, and he has sickle cell anemia.
Okay. He's very vocal about it.
He does a lot of like spreading awareness. I have a girlfriend that's in Georgia that I made friends with at camp. And she does a lot of like, skate nights. I'm like, you guys need to come here, like come to Florida, do, and it's to raise money for the foundation or
if the rapper would do a concert or something for sickle cell in Florida.
All your ideas.
I know. I want to get awareness out there too, you know. Yes. I really do. I find it sad that as Florida we're kind of pulling up the rear here, you know, where we have some great resources here.
We do.
You know, and if we can maybe talk to your rapper friend, I don't know, and you know, do a concert about it or something. I just think that, you know, anything and everything. Like you coming here today and educating me for sure on all of this, all the conditions and all the treatments and everything. I mean, I just so appreciate that because I've heard it all my life but did not know really what all it involved. Is there any, like for those that are listening or any viewers, then, okay, donation, any place we can donate or any any sort of involvement that they can do that can help?
I would say donating blood helps.
Okay.
You can do, I don't know if you can like donate blood in someone's name, but donating blood.
Okay. Forgive me for saying this, and this might show my ignorance here, but is there like certain blood types that are more needed? O positive because more universal or
that's a good question. I just know that like when you get a lot of blood transfusions, like your blood starts to build up antibodies.
Okay.
So like my blood never comes from the hospital that I'm at ever because I have antibodies. So like from getting it there and then I don't really know, that's like really like a scientific thing.
But, sure.
So it comes from South Hospital. It doesn't ever come from the hospital that I go to.
Really?
Yeah. So donating blood, just looking up, I know that they have like a weekend sickle cell camp, I believe at like Boggy Creek, but it's super hard to get like in as a volunteer.
Okay. So is there a certain time of year? Do they do, I mean,
it's different every year. I've noticed,
but they do it annually,
Yes.
So we have something.
It's just okay. Hard to like become a part of.
Really? You'd think that they would want
that. Yeah. Or maybe it just like fills up fast is maybe.
Okay.
Or I want to believe.
Do you know the name of that camp?
Camp Boggy Creek.
It's just called Camp Boggy Creek.
Oh, okay. Camp Boggy Creek.
But yeah, donating blood. I know that my friend has her new foundation.
What is that again? Pink?
It's called the Pink Foundation.
The Pink Foundation. Yes. Okay. So I assume, is she on Facebook?
Yes, she's
Insta,
on Facebook. Yep.
All your usuals. Okay. Okay. So they can go there. And I'm sure, and I don't know, Phil, did I do on these charts? I think there's a reference page. There might be a couple.
Yeah, there's couple sicklecelldisease.org.
Okay. So like a national?
Yeah, that's like a national one.
Okay. Oh, good. Here. Thank you, Phil. Okay. And then there's,
sicklecelldisease.org. Yeah.
Facebook page. There's Facebook, private
there's
and Facebook, public.
There's lots of sickle cell Facebook groups.
Okay.
Whether they're to wear awareness or to raise awareness, or if you have sickle cell, or if you have family that has sickle cell, or friends, like just kind of like support groups. So.
Okay, great. Because I just say whatever we can do to help spread or help donate or just help with this, because I just, like I said, I mean, there's definitely certain populations that have it more so than others, but it seems to be, you know, and I find it interesting. You said there are pockets like California and then Atlanta. And I guess it's because like you're saying.
It just depends on the area. Yeah. California is like, there's LA. It's the Sickle Cell Foundation is in Los Angeles and it's predominantly.
And I guess because you're saying that there's concentrations of say African-Americans or those groups that are affected, then that's where you're going to have your pockets. Yes. So, I mean, I don't know. What's New York like? Does it have... I'm just thinking of large population bases too. I
would think Chicago.
That would make sense. Yeah.
New York. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't. Also, like, not that you couldn't. Or Denver, which is Denver. Like I never would think, but right. Denver has like a sickle cell center.
Okay.
But people with sickle cell, I don't know. I don't want to live in the cold, so it's harder to live in the cold. So
right, because that's a trigger.
Because it's a trigger.
You don't want to do that. Okay, so. But Florida doesn't have a center at all that we know of. No,
no. I heard like a year or two ago that they were supposed to like do something in Miami. Okay. That's a place that I could see because there's like there's a large like Haitian population and like so
yeah. Where there's like that higher
African Americans,
But so Orlando, I mean,
we
don't have it.
No,
okay, okay. So, donate blood, donate monetarily to an organization that supports this.
Yes.
If there's anyone in that you know of in particular in mind or in mind that you want to stress, that's good. Go to the Pink Foundation.
Yes,
is it .org?
I think it's just like Inc.
Okay. And then, just be involved in any sort of camps or any sort of activities you can that would, and spread the awareness.
Spread awareness.
Share this podcast with folks.
Share this podcast. Absolutely.
That's right. That's right. And just raise awareness any way you can about this. So Phil, you have any parting comments that?
I mean, I've learned a lot. This is, eye-opening. And I mean, it seems like you have a really good handle on it, though.
So yes, that's, thank you. I do. I think so.
So if anybody watched this, just know it'll be okay.
Well, and speaking of raising awareness, do you happen to do, like, I mean, you're on our podcast, but do you speak at conferences or do you do anything like that?
I never have. There's nothing. And that's not an excuse that there's nothing here, but maybe like there, it's like time to maybe like look into like creating something here. I don't though, but I have a lot of friends that do, like, but there's nothing here. There's nothing really here.
I guess maybe a hematology conference or something where it could even just be a speaker, you know, just keynote or something
informing,
for that.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, or, you know, something like that. And still, I still think you need to talk to your rapper friend, but that's just me. That's just me. So I appreciate your time today and you coming in here and talking to us and helping us to learn about this. It's just really fascinating to me. And like Phil was saying, we learned a lot. And thank you for sharing that.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. And maybe we'll reach back out and do a "So what's she doing now?" kind of thing, and see where you are and what you're doing. Maybe you will be the keynote speaker at a huge conference with your rapper friend doing a concert and going to camp shortly after. I'm hoping, you know, or that there's going to be a sickle cell center here in Central Florida. You know, that would be great.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah. So thank you. Thank you. And I wish you the best of health. And I hope that your crisis periods are long and that you remain in good health. And I just wish you the best.
Thank you so much.
All right. And that's it for this episode of Medical Maze. And we look forward to seeing you again.
See ya.
Bye.